Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus in the West, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, the host, and what we do here is, well, as it says on my website, crosstheborder.org, it's all about biblical studies. So while some things may seem unimportant to others, if you're engaged in biblical studies, at least for me, well, I'm not going to decide that this is not important or that's not important or this is a distraction or and not worth our time. No, it's biblical studies. We're going to study it all. And we're going through the Bible here, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. So this is the Through the Bible program for the 21st century, at least, and perhaps maybe centuries beyond, because I believe we may be around for a couple of more centuries. I'm not a futurist when it comes to the interpretation of eschatology. I don't hold the futurist view that it's all out there in the future someday, but somehow it's all going to happen at the same time in my lifetime. No, I would be more along the lines of a historicist, and that is that prophecy unfolds in history, and our Heavenly Father gave us the prophecy to authenticate His Word, and He's done a very good job so far, because His prophecy has unfolded in history beautifully and perfectly. Many prognosticators have picked up the Bible and drawn people after them with interpretations and prophetic utterances, or should I say, not prophetic utterances, because that's what the Scripture is. That's what the prophets gave us who wrote the words of the book. You know, they make predictions based on the prophecies of the Bible, and the prophecy, their predictions come and they go. And they come, and their prophecy, their predictions go, but they stick around and correct themselves and come up with new predictions. Well, I don't want to make any predictions here. And if I make a prediction, I'm going to tell you that it's a prediction and that it's only a prediction. But the things that the Scripture says will come to pass will come to pass. For instance, I know that the promises of my God are sure. I know that there will be a resurrection of the dead. I know that when the last trump sounds, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the heavenly places. I know these things. These things are as sure as facts to me. It's as sure as they have already happened. I don't believe that that occurrence, that last trump, is going to sound during my mortal lifetime, during this period of grace in which I live. Yes, a grace period. That's the period of time between the time that we are conceived and the time that our mortal existence, our body, ceases to function and become inhabitable. I call that a grace period, because we're all born with a death sentence, and it's only by the grace of God that Adam and Eve were allowed to live, and so likewise all of us are allowed to live in this condition of having a death sentence on our heads because of the sins of our fathers, and certainly because of our own sins. So it's grace, and it's from grace to grace. When Yahshua, Jesus, the Messiah, came on the scene, when He willingly laid down His life and spilled His blood, when they hung Him on that cross, and He finally said, "It is finished," He gave us a new kind of grace, a grace in which we could dwell in heavenly places for the remainder of our mortal existence, where we could boldly enter into the throne room of our Heavenly Father and bring our requests and our petitions directly to Him, so that we would not have to, that our only option would not be to petition earthly kings and governors and gods. No, we can go straight to the throne room. And it's as quick as saying a prayer and getting on your knees before him, at least in spirit, humbling yourself so that he can raise you up. He will hear your petitions. But do remember his word. He said that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination, that he does not hear the prayers of the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears the prayers of the just. He hears the prayers of those that have accepted the work that his only begotten Son did in redeeming us from the power of sin and death. Yes, we're still in our mortal flesh, yet we have been redeemed from the power of sin and death, so that when our mortal flesh is planted in the ground, when this body ceases to function so that we can no longer inhabit it, that we will move on to the first resurrection. We will move on to the last trumpet, and we will rise from the dead, and we will join all of those saints who came before us. Yes, even all of the saints that came before Yahshua, before Jesus the Messiah appeared on the scene, because they were covered too. The scripture records for us that when he rose from the dead, before he rose from the dead, that he descended into the lower parts. He descended into hell. And in hell there was a compartment called paradise. And in this paradise, another name given for it that Yahshua gave it was Abraham's bosom, because it was the promise to Abraham. We are all heirs according to that promise. We are of the seed of Abraham through righteousness, because Abraham was justified by his faith as we are. So we are truly the sons of Abraham if we have accepted the redeeming work of the Messiah. And that same promise that was given to Adam and Eve, yes, they were set free too. And we will all, what a glorious day it will be when we are all joined together on that great day when that trumpet sounds and all the dead in Christ will rise. And you know, there is a question there, and that's why I've come up with, I've had a little revelation, and my revelation is from the scripture itself. Because we know that Yahshua, Jesus, set the captives free that were in hell, or in that compartment called paradise, where they were comforted in the bosom of Abraham. That's the name given to the place to show that it was a place of comfort by our Messiah himself. So how can it be that if he set the captives free and they literally came out of the graves and witnessed, as did the Messiah to many in that day, all the saints of old, it said, were set free. Many of them came out of the graves and they went, and I'm thinking perhaps some that had just died, went and witnessed to their families and said, it's fine, you know, believe that the promises are true. And those families witnessed to other families. And so there was a great stirring in the land because of this happenstance. And then they ascended, as did Christ ascend. And where did they go? Well, they went on. See, our Heavenly Father is not constrained by time like we are. Time is part of his creation. Time, as we know it, is set by the revolutions of the planets for us. But what was time before that? Well, we don't know. But certainly our Creator, who created the time that we know and we experience and we live out in our mortal existence, certainly that time is not a limitation or a constraint on Him. So that when we die, see, I have a sister. My mother died in 1954. I guess that dates me, doesn't it? And I have a sister that died in 1985. My father died in the 1960s, and I was orphaned. But I'll use my sister as an example. She died in 1985 at the age of 35 years old. And she was a believer. She had a great faith. Now, she wasn't a perfect woman. Yes, she made a lot of mistakes in her life. So did David, that great prophet and the king of Israel. But he was called a man after God's own heart. And so we read the scripture and we can have assurance that yes, no matter how terrible we've sinned, no matter how bad the mistakes we've made, whether intentional or unintentional, that we can be redeemed. And my sister was a woman of faith, and her faith was real. And I know that because we fellowshipped together. And she died in 1985. And our good friend Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with Yahuwah, to be present with the Lord. So I know that she went on to the first resurrection, right? That last trump event. Because I believe that, like those that came out of the graves, they didn't go back into the grave and wait. Now, Yahshua said, he referring to someone that had died, he said, he sleepeth. And then he plainly said, because someone was kind of saying, well, wake him up. He said, then he plainly said, he's dead. So he used the term sleeping for the dead. Because to us, they are sleeping. To us, they are in the grave. But they kind of go around time. When you die in Christ, you go around time and you move immediately to the next event, which is the resurrection, the last trump, the resurrection. I'm trying to make this as easy to understand, but I get this out of the scripture. This is not some revelation that I have myself, but you take the pieces of the scripture. When you learn the whole scripture and you put the pieces together, you come up with this beautiful picture that explains things. You're able to see things as they really are. So my sister who died in 1985, all of those saints who came out of the graves, they went to the next event. The next event for them was the resurrection of the dead, because the dead in Christ shall rise, then those who are alive and remain at that time, okay, because the resurrection, the first resurrection, does have a place in time, but that time is future, okay, that last trump event has a place in time, but the time is future. But for those that die before, or those that came out of the graves, were set free when Yahshua went to the lower parts of hell and set the captives free. They came out of the graves, and when they ascended, when he ascended, when they ascended, when my sister ascended in 1985, they just went around time to that next event. And someday in the future, and I hope it's 50 years from now or 60 years, who knows how long I'm going to be on this planet, I want to be here and work as hard as I can for my Heavenly Father as long as I can. I'm in no hurry to leave. I realize life is hard. There are sorrows and there are tribulations in life, and I accept that. That's fine. But if I can stay here and serve my Heavenly Father for another 50 years, that's fine with me too. Because I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people have this mentality, this escapist mentality, that the sooner that he comes, the better it'll be. Yeah, well, you know what? We only get to do this once. This mortality only once. There are things that we can only do now, as mortals, now. I can be perfected through suffering now. I can reach others and drag them out of the pits of hell now. So let me serve my Heavenly Father as long as I can. That's a little aside, a little off of the what my topic is for this segment. So the point is, 50 years from now, 60 years, whenever the Heavenly Father decides that my work here is done, they'll plant my body in the ground, and I will go directly to that last trump event, the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just. And I will arrive there at the same time as my sister, as my mother, as everyone else who died before me and after me and up until that time. We will all arrive at that resurrection event at the same time. So no, Your loved ones are not up in heaven looking down on you. In a way, they can be. I believe that when we get to that place, that we will have the opportunity to look back on the events of this creation. And we will be able to look in on the times that we were gone. So in a way, yes, they may be looking back, but they may be looking back with you. How's that for a revelation? Today, we're in the book of Jeremiah. And before I jump into that, the Heavenly Father gave me a verse. And that verse is 2 Timothy 3:2. I think someone emailed this to me the other day, or one close to it. There's another verse in Revelation, the book of Romans that's very close to this one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times shall come. Now this is the word of our Heavenly Father as penned through one of His servants to us and to the people that were living at that time. We are in the last days, and they were in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Perilous times have come and gone, and perilous times will come. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. The days of Jeremiah were much like this. And this is a perfect description of the world today, as it was in the last days, because the last days, in context, in most places in Scripture, are referring to the time after. Okay, get this. The last days are referring to the time after Daniel's 70 weeks were up. Because what did the prophet say? What was the word of the Heavenly Father through His angel to the prophet Daniel? 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. Daniel got sick. Daniel became ill. Daniel was very troubled. Daniel loved his people. He loved his nation Israel. That was evident. He prayed. He repented for his people as a whole. The heart of this man was beautiful toward the people. And you could see the same character conveyed to all, even the heathen around him. He treated with great respect. And at the same time he treated with great respect, he did not mince words at all. He would prepare them, and he would say things like, "Be it to thine enemies," and that he would make the pronouncement of judgment from God to let them know that, hey, I wish no ill for you, but here's the judgment of God, and it's not good. Your enemies will like this. It tells us a lot about the character of this man. But he said, 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. That was the prophecy. And the 70 weeks, 69 weeks, came and went. And after the 69 weeks, the Messiah came onto the scene. And his ministry lasted 7 years to the nation Israel. That's right, 70 weeks. In the middle of the week, he was cut off, not for himself, but for the people. In the middle of the week, he brought an end to the sacrifice. When he was on that cross and he said, "It is finished," and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. That was an end to the daily. He put an end to it. There was no longer any need, read Hebrews for yourself, there was no longer any need for the blood of bulls and goats, which were only a temporary covering, because he had now sacrificed himself for sin once for all. And then about 3.5 years later, after he rose from the dead, after those saints that we talk about came out of the graves and witnessed to the people, about 3.5 years later, the Heavenly Father was done with the sheep of the house of Israel, and the gospel went to the nations. And that is why the New Testament was written in the language of the nations. There was an international language at that time, and it was called Greek. So our Heavenly Father ceased to give the Word of God to the Hebrews exclusively to be written in their language. They were no longer the oracles of God, as declared throughout the Old Testament. They had the oracles of God. But now it was being transferred to the nations, to the world, and to the language of the nations of the world. The gospel went to the Gentiles. When we get back from the break, we're going to jump into our current study in the book of Jeremiah. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'd like to hear from you. Crosstheborder.org is my website. There you'll find an email link. You can also listen to the last 5 days of this program on demand at any time. The program is archived within 30 minutes after I finish the program today. It will be archived, and you can find the last 5 days there. And do enjoy the other Bible studies. I suggest that everyone listen to my Genesis study. It's a very good place to start. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.